radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 22. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Every resident in this city that is lit up is going to be part of what will give the blaze to that city. Not just God and Jesus, but all of us are lit up. And because it's like a magnifying glass of beauty, it will be a hospitable beauty of light, and it will be all kinds of colors. Can you imagine this now? Every color of every stone mentioned back there a minute ago. We walk around in stark white light, right? But we always like, when there's this beautiful sunset. Do you know in that day, the world is going to be constantly filled with colors that are going to be dancing? Do you know that you and I have a lot to look forward to that our words cannot really describe fully? But you begin to put it together as you go through these chapters. The Bible says in verse 6, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." Now notice what he just did there. He just referenced the prophets, which means everything they said now will be fully understood in a way unlike anything before. I just told you about Ezekiel talking about trees on either side. We're going to see those trees. They're on either side. There's going to be trees for the healing of the nations. Those trees are there, not just the tree of life, but a lot of trees for the healing of the nations. And what we see here is the holy prophets told us about Ezekiel 47. He's telling us about a threshold that's got water pouring out of it. And it's a threshold of a house of the Lord that is not inhabited at the time. So we see the holy prophets are referenced and others as well. But that's just the one that connects closest to what we're talking about at the moment. The Bible says that the God, his word has been faithful and true. Everything is clear. Everything is understood. We know even as we are known at this point. And it says it's what the holy prophets have been saying all along. Now, let me tell you this. This is going to kind of begin to give us a few things about everything we've been told. Because basically, we're going to wrap up a lot of what he said, and we're going to be confirming it. And the first thing he does here, we find that prophecy now is confirmed by the prophets. That's what he just said. He told us that the prophecies have been confirmed. He said, these words were faithful and true. They said it all along. You did well to take heed to these things. He says, these are faithful and true. The words of the holy prophets have now been shown to be legitimate and to be dependable. You and I live upon prophecies that are many times fulfilled. We already are living in a day where so many in the rear view are fulfilled. You remember this, right? He, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. That is where we live today. You know when it says the chastisement for our peace is upon him? That means that every time a lightning bolt ought to come out of the sky, as you, the believer, or I, the believer, have done something really stupid or bad or wrong, it should have come. Jesus took that too. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. You get peace every day because he's the Prince of Peace. And we live upon that foundation. And the Bible teaches very clearly that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's 17 of John 3. We know 16. God loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Aren't you glad that's true? He came down and he became a lowly carpenter's son and eventually came out into the arena of public opinion. He began to heal everybody, walk on water, raise the dead, heal the sick. I mean, giving sight to the blind, making hands that were withered grow fingers. I mean, we're talking awesome God. And they crucified him. The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. You and I have a whole lot of grist for the mill of our faith today because so much is rear view. But what is in the foreview, what is before us, what we have to look forward to is important. Because not only is this book of prophecy, which the Bible is largely that, not only is it a book that is confirmed by the prophets when we look back, but it's also committed to the saints. This is an important point. Look at verse 7. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." You might underline the word keepeth because it means to guard it. It's the Greek word tereo, T-E-R-E-O, tereo. It means to guard. It means to keep your eye on it, to watch it. You see, this truth was committed to the saints. This is why it is a tragedy that many churches won't even talk about the book of Revelation. They won't even tell you about your blessed hope. Therefore, it's easy for us to get earthbound, caught up in the nonsense of the day-to-day, because we think we got it going on, man. We've got tablets and phones and cars and planes and trains, and we've got all kinds of appliances at the house that do all our work for us. We've got garbage men coming. We've got underground sewage systems. Man, everything is so clean and nice. But the reality is that because of all those things being nice, as we forget about our blessed hope, it doesn't seem so wonderful. And so what it is he's telling us, blessed, happy, to be congratulated are the people who realize you've got to shake away the malaise, and you've got to keep your eyes on this prophecy, because this is surely going to come to pass. That's what he's saying. He says, "Behold, I come quickly." The word is tachos, like your tachometer on your dashboard. Tachometers are good. They tell you what your engine is doing in a little bit more deliberate way. And race car drivers would not be without them. It means fast. Tells you how fast you're going. He says, "I come tachos. I come quickly." Blessed, happy, to be congratulated. Happy is he that keepeth, tereo, guards, keeps his eye on, watches the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So he said it twice in verse 6 and verse 7. He says, "Which must shortly be done. And behold, I come quickly." It's all the same. He's trying to tell us that though it's been almost 2,000 years now, fully, that the Lord Jesus came. You say, "Well, that's not very fast." It is with God, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And every single generation that has come since the time of Christ has had its own drama, its own test cases, its own challenges that people had to deal with. You and I all live in a world that is pretty hospitable to us because it's been built to be so. And yet, there are times when we run into a little bit of a conundrum. What do I do with that? But like, let's say you get locked out of your car. What do you do? Some of you say, "Well, I got an idea. We'll get us a coat hanger. We'll get us one of those little rods that you stick over down the window and open it." Or maybe you remember the code on the pin pad. My point is, you have some ideas. But what we do is we turn the doorknob maybe to the right. It doesn't open. We'll turn it to the left. And sometimes it'll open. Something's just a little stuck the one way. My point is that you and I have a hospitable world. But what that does to us is it makes us not appreciate what we have. But we have come to this place in time so that God might fully, listen, have exhausted every question mark, every objection to the throne, because every single generation has dealt with different things. If you take somebody, let's say, in China, do you know when Paul wanted to go east, the Holy Spirit forbid him? You remember that? And then he got the Macedonian vision, had to go west instead of east. And he went over and he saw Lydia, the seller of purple, and he won the Philippian jailer and a lot of things. But what happened? Why couldn't he go? God left a little bit of a place over there that shows us very deliberately what happens to a people who do not get the gospel overtly. People talk about, "Well, what about the heathen?" You know, Bible talks about the heathen. God, who is the God of all the earth, He will do right. Romans chapter 1 talks about it. He tells us how that's going to unfold. But he says, look what they do. What they do is they go to idolatry. They go into immorality. They go into indecency. They become insensitive to that. And you know, eventually you get like the movie Gateways of Splendor with Jim Elliot. He goes in there and they got spears. We spear people. That's what we do. We spear people. Why?
I don't know. We just do it. That's what we've always done. We smear people. Why? Because you've darkened your hearts by becoming idolaters. And you know, America's becoming like that. We are not the heathen of those who are unreached tribes. What we now are people who suppressed the knowledge of God and unrighteousness, and we're slowly deteriorating. Actually, not so slowly anymore, but we have slowly deteriorated now into all kinds of idolatrous and immoral and indecent kind of behaviors. And now we have a whole host of young people coming up who have not been trained in the things of God, who have been denied training in the things of God. And that's in our country alone. But the point I'm trying to make here is that the timetable, it seems like it's been a long time, but every generation lives like 70 years. You know, that's the 3, 4, and 10 type thing. But you know, if you really look at it, if it's been 2,000 years, how many of you know somebody who lived to be 100 or almost 100? How many of you? Okay, almost all of us. Do you know, if you took 20 people who lived to be 100, you'd be back to Jesus. Think about it. Just 20. Does that sound like pretty quick? That sounds quick? Yeah, kind of quick. The Bible says, I come quickly. He says, blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So this truth has been committed to the saints. He says in verse 22, John so overcome, he started to worship this angel which had showed him these things in verse 8. The angel forbid him in verse 9. And he said unto him, he says, see you, do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book. See, he just said, blessed are those who keep these sayings. And he says, I'm of thy brethren. We're all brethren in God's kingdom. We're all brethren. There are the brethren of the angelic host. There's the brethren of the prophetic, you know, school, you know, where everybody was prophesying. They had schools of prophets, and then there were prophets in the days, and they all have a fraternity. Then he says, I'm also brethren with those of you who keep the... He says, we're just all brothers and sisters. That's what we are. We're just brothers. It's kind of neat. You know, in America, we get around the 4th of July and we start singing all the hymns from all the branches of the Army, right? Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, National Guard, all of this. We're all brothers, but we all have different little roles to play. But you know what's really cool? And do not miss this. We're the bride. We're right up close and personal with Jesus in a way that angels desire to look into. Do you remember what it says in 1 Timothy 3:16? Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh. Seen of the angels. Do you hear that? That's what it says. Seen of the angels. Do you know what that means? They couldn't see him before because his outshining defied the ability for angels to see him. The Bible talks about the seraphim with two wings that covered their faces because they couldn't look at him. With two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew. They couldn't stand in his presence. They just flew. They just wanted to get in like a moth to a flame. They wanted to get close. But when Jesus became a man, they saw Jesus. And that was a big day. You and I are going to see him face to face. We just saw it. He just told us. We're going to see him. We're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we're not going to have to blink, because he will enable us for that. But we're all brothers, different places that we serve. But the Bible says in verse 10, he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Do you know there's a lot of people who seal it by never opening it? They seal it by never reading it. They seal it by saying it can't be understood. They seal it by saying it's too high, it's too much mystery, or it's already passed, nothing here to see, move along. I'll tell you something, people who do that, bless their hearts. Many of them are just deceived. They don't get it. And I feel bad about that. But I'm telling you, we've got a king to whom we must answer. And he says, don't seal this book. And people who are sealing this book by never talking about it are depriving the sheep of the nourishment of a blessed hope of the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus tells us about. That's the blessed hope. You take away the blessed hope and you take away the reason that people sanctify themselves. The Bible says he who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. If you knew Jesus was going to drop in tomorrow, the house is going to be spick and span tonight.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.